Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The call to post means it's time for Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from Virginia, around the Mid-Atlantic, and across the country. Off to the Races is powered by the Racing Biz, the independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. Find them at www.theracingbiz.com. Now here's your host with Off to the Races on the Racing Biz Radio Network. And hey, good morning, everybody. A happy Saturday to you. Saturday, the 20th of July. My name's Frank Vespi. We are talking thoroughbred racing and breeding here on Off to the Races from Virginia, across the Mid-Atlantic, and around the country. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday morning with us here on Off to the Races. We do appreciate it. A little bit of a strange Saturday, very hot all over the Mid-Atlantic region. So just about every track except the nighttime tracks has canceled, with one big exception. That's Monmouth Park. Monmouth, the eyes of the Mid-Atlantic, and really the racing world, going to be on Monmouth today as they roll out the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational and several other stakes races. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the program. We got a fun show today. In addition to doing some handicapping with Derby Bill and Nick Hahn, we've got author Robin Williams going to join us, trainer D. Curry. So a lot to do here on Off to the Races this morning, this lovely Saturday morning. Off to the Races is powered by The Racing Biz. You can check us out online at www.theracingbiz.com. Get our free mobile app for your Apple and Android devices. You can also find us on social media. We're all over the social web. We're at Instagram, Flickr, Facebook, Twitter. We are at The Racing Biz. Always happy to hear from folks on social media at The Racing Biz. Today's edition of Off to the Races is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and the Virginia Equine Alliance. As always, they are helping to make Virginia racing history. You can learn more about the VTA and the VEA at virginiahorseracing.com. That is virginiahorseracing.com for the VTA and the VEA, our good friends. Let's take a quick look back at the week that was. Delaware Park held its signature race of the year. That's the Grade 2 $750,000 Delaware Handicap. And for the second straight year, it was all about Elate.
Looks like a two-horse affair right now, and Elate has taken over. As they turn for home, the game Escape Clause is trying to fight back. They went the mile in 1:36.4. Elate and Jose Ortiz begins to draw away. Escape Clause couldn't sustain her move. Next in line, Brute Ply is trying to make a bid for that second spot, but it's all Elate down the stretch. Jose Ortiz and Billy Mott back-to-back Delaware handicaps. She's in hand in the final 50 yards. Tight for second with Escape Clause and Blue Prize in a photo for second and third. I think Escape Clause got it, followed by Gotham who held on to fourth.
With Jose Ortiz up, Elate was in mid-pack early, made a quick move to contention while wide on the course, and pretty much had disposed of her rivals with a quarter mile to go en route to a four-length win in 202.51 for a mile and a quarter. It was the second straight Del Cap for Elate. She became just the seventh horse to double up in the Del Cap. She's trained by Bill Mott, who also trained another of those horses that won two consecutive Del Caps. That's Royal Delta, who scored in 2012 and 13 with the win. Elate now has 7 wins from 16 career starts, earnings just shy of $2.1 million, and every right to make some noise in the Distaff division going forward this year. She's a daughter of Medallia Doro. She's a homebred for Claiborne Farm and Del Dilschneider. There were 4 other stakes on the Delaware Park card. Jackie Jose Ortiz won 3 of those too, giving him a remarkable 4-for-4 day all in stakes company. He scored on Bronx Beauty in the Dashing Beauty Stakes, Kapla Temptress in the Just a Kiss, and Parlor in the Glasgow Stakes. The other stake on the card, the Hokesson, went to Ohio Invader Altissimo with Christian Pilar is up. Those last four stakes were all part of the match series, which Dashing Beauty runner-up now is at the head of the class. She's Ms. Locust Point. She now has 24 points. That is the most in the match series. She's just ahead of Bronx Beauty, who has 20. Meanwhile, up the road at the Spa in Saratoga, the grade one Diana was quite a showdown, and it went to Sister Charlie.
Secret Message is going to cut the corner. They're into the stretch. Rushing Fall gets first run. Sister Charlie comes after her. They're 1-2. Home Erique is finishing in the center of the course. It's Sister Charlie, Rushing Fall, and Home Erique. The Chad Brown runners, 1-2-3, coming down to the line. And it's going to be Sister Charlie and the Diana.
The Diana brought together 2018 Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf winner Sister Charlie versus 2017 Breeders' Cup juvenile fillies turf winner Rushing Fall. Those two ran 1-2, Sister Charlie getting the money. They're both trained by Chad Brown, as was the show horse Homerique, and also the last place finisher Thais, who was employed as a rabbit in this race. And if you're looking for a sign of the times in racing, a grade one at the country's best race meet with just six horses and four of them trained by the same guy, well, that's a pretty clear sign of the times and not a particularly good one. Sister Charlie is terrific, though. The Irish-bred daughter of My Boy Charlie, now 8-for-12 in her career. She's earned over $2.8 million. Chad Brown trains her for Peter Brandt. She was ridden a victory by John Velasquez. She looks to be setting up for another strong campaign leading to the Breeders' Cup in the fall. Finally, closer to home, Laurel Park had several stakes last Sunday. The two most notable results: the hard-hitting filly Late Night Powwow, who won the Fritchie back in February, returned to action with a solid score in the Twixt, and three-year-old Mind Control, a graded stakes winner, was a troubled third in the 7-furlong concern. We are up against our first break here on Off to the Races. Got a great show lined up today. Of course, Derby Bill Watson, Nick Hahn going to join us a bit later. Trainer D. Curry, who will saddle Bethlehem Road in the afternoon's Grade 1 Haskell, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. But up next, novelist and former Virginia Racing Commission Chair Robin Trawick Williams going to be on board. You're listening to Off to the Races. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, my name is Trevor Burton. You can listen to my daddy on the radio every day, Hardly Working, with Greg Burton from 4 to 6 on ESPN Richmond.
It's time to get the 804's kids ready to go back to school. Save the date for Radio 1 Richmond's 4th Annual Prep for Success Back to School Supply Giveaway and Block Party. Saturday, August 24th at Trinity Family Life Center. This event is free and open to the public and will include seminars, vendors, free haircuts and curls, and more. To become a sponsor or vendor for Prep for Success and reach hundreds of families, email richmondevents@radio-1.com. That's richmondevents@radio-1.com.
The personal injury law firm of Allen & Allen is proud to honor local hometown heroes this summer, the folks that make Virginia a great place to live and work. Visit allenandallen.com to learn more about your 2019 hometown heroes.
Every day, all over Central Virginia, Feed More feeds kids, we feed families, and we feed seniors. We do that with your help. We need you to volunteer. Time, money, energy, it all counts. It all fights hunger. You can too.
Virginia, welcome to Save Yourself with Geico.
You go in for a hug, but the huggy pulls up for a handshake.
Oh, hi.
You couldn't save yourself from the crushing inner cringe of a handshake-hug mix-up. But you could save yourself hundreds by switching your car insurance to Geico.
Yes.
You could save on motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, too.
Nice.
Plus, the Geico Insurance Agency could help you save on homeowners and renters insurance.
Oh.
While your dopey arms, extended like a wounded bird, have become your biggest problem, you should know Geico is the largest auto insurer in the state.
Okay.
Geico even offers 24/7 access to licensed agents and emergency roadside service.
Huh.
And while hugs don't always go as expected, you could expect your local Geico agent to help you save even more.
Ooh.
Like with federal and military discounts.
You couldn't save yourself the embarrassment of a handshake hug, but you could save yourself hundreds with Geico online, over the phone, or at your local office.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 19.
Your radio home for Baltimore Orioles baseball all season.
This is Brandon Hyde, and you're listening to 99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the Races Radio. We're talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from, well, all over the place. But let's start our morning in Virginia. Our next guest has led a varied life. She was at one time for several years the chair of the Virginia Racing Commission. These days, and the thing that's prompting us to talk with her now, she's a novelist. Her new book out is called The Key to the Quarter Pole. Robin Trawick-Williams joins us. Robin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Frank. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time on a Saturday morning. And I have to start with something that struck me just a little bit incongruous. One of the sort of recommendations on the back cover of the book is that it was named Best Unpublished Novel, which seems a little bit like kind of one of those Best Personality Awards.
James River Writers, which is a wonderful literary support organization, and the Richmond Magazine every other year have a contest for novel manuscripts. And if you win, it's a great opportunity to get exposure and an agent and get your book published. It's a way of getting your book curated in a sense.
Getting eyes on it.
Yeah. It was a great boost for me to win that, and certainly helps in selling the book and persuading people to read it.
There's a line in the book that really struck me. Louisa, who is the protagonist, it's sort of late in the book, and there's an episode with a horse that she has a special affinity for that she's concerned about, and she suddenly realizes, she says to herself, there's no life outside the racetrack. What does that mean?
Well, when I was chairman of the Racing Commission, I spent a lot of time at Colonial Downs, and I was very struck with life on the backstretch and how all these people came together from different backgrounds and because of their love of horses, and that holds them together. And of course, when you fool with horses, it's 24/7. You know, the horse doesn't know Sunday from Tuesday, and particularly at the racetrack, it's just very all-encompassing, and you don't have time to go anywhere else and do anything else. My dad used to say, if you have horses, it determines where you live, who your friends are, and how you spend your money. So even when you're not at the racetrack, horses become an all-encompassing part of your life. And I do think people who are involved in racing, it does encompass their whole life.
Well, I think there's a lot to that. And I think that I lost my train of thought there. How about that? That was easy. I did want to ask you, what kind of inspired you to write this novel? Obviously, your love of sort of life on the backstretch, but I guess what was kind of the genesis of the novel?
Well, I'm a writer. I have other books, and when our daughter was 15, we told her she had to get a summer job. You know, she could go to Chick-fil-A or whatever, but she got a job as a hot walker at Colonial Downs. Well, we live an hour away from the track, and at 15, she didn't have a driver's license. So I got up at 4:30 every morning and drove her to the track. And because it was so far away, I stayed all morning while she worked. And I roamed the backstretch and talked to the trainers and the hot walkers and hung around the gap and watched how the flow of the life on the backstretch went. And I was very taken over a period of time, not just that summer, but all the years I was on the commission, with the notion that the backstretch is like a family. There are certainly a lot of black sheep, but when something bad happens, they pull together. You know, an exercise rider gets busted up in the morning, doesn't have insurance, and they put on a fundraiser. And you see some groom with holes in his shoes come up and put a $50 bill in the kitty. It's just very touching how strong this community is. And, you know, I think a lot of people think racing is pretty hats and champagne, but there's a great passion for the horses on the backstretch that doesn't always come through to the general public, and that's what I want to reveal.
One of the things I thought was interesting, though, too, is it struck me that you have these characters in the book, which follows Louise Ferncliffe and Wick, who runs the track, and Shannon, who's a young woman, bringing a couple horses to the backside and some other various folks. But that these people are coming together, as you mentioned, sort of their shared love of horses and racing, but also there's a kind of self-destructiveness to it. I mean, the old joke of like owning horses is, how do you make a small fortune in horse racing? Well, you start with a large fortune. And this is sort of like, how do you make a, you know, small shambles of your life? Well, you start with a normal life and you get into horse racing. I mean, there is a self-destructiveness to the people in the novel. And I think it strikes me that you're going for, there's kind of a self-destructiveness in the game itself a little bit.
Well, I think you're perhaps overstating that, because that sounds negative. And I feel like the book is a positive view of people helping each other deal with the vicissitudes of life. And again, their passion for horses drives everything else. And, you know, I mentioned my dad. He had horse fever, and I have horse fever, and I gave it to my daughter. I mean, when I was 20 years old, I dropped out of college and got married. And after about 6 months, my dad sent me a horse, naturally. And about 6 months after that, my husband came in and said, "It's me or the horse." And I thought, okay, who says that outside the movies, you know, really, in real life? But, you know, if that's the way you feel about it. So I took the horse and came back to Virginia. You know, and it wasn't even a really good horse. But, you know, if you have horse fever, this is what you do. And, you know, that's what I wanted to show, and how people bond over that. And that, you know, there's a lot in the book about the tremendous emotion that people feel for the horses and the success of the horses in a race. You know, at one point, Louisa, the main character, who's a 60-year-old assistant trainer, is watching sort of a protege of hers ride in his first race. And let me just read a couple lines.
Sure.
Only jockeys knew the feeling of being one with the wind, but other horsemen could appreciate the tension of a race and feel beating deep in their own chest the heart of a good horse. When it was your horse, the elation went beyond human happiness, as if God had invented a new emotion just for horsemen. You know, that's what it is. God's invented a new emotion just for horsemen.
So we're talking with Robin Trewick Williams, novelist. Her new novel is Key to the Quarter Pole. Robin, our sport, you know, horse racing, we're in a moment, you and I have discussed this a little bit, but we're in a moment where we're really kind of out of step with society right now. You know, there's animal rights concerns, there's, you know, using horses as entertainment, there's a lot of different issues, there's a slaughter issue. I think you've said something important, that there is this bond. How does horse racing express to the rest of the world in a way that the rest of the world can comprehend the things you're trying to get across in the novel here?
Oh boy, that is, you know, that's something I think that's faced racing for a long time. And when we launched this book, The Key to the Quarter Pole, Jill Byrne, who's the director, I mean, I have her title exactly right, director of racing at Colonial Downs, which is reopening next month. This book is set on the backstretch at Colonial Downs. Jill Byrne came to my book launch and heard me give this talk about the backstretch and the incredible people and their love of the horses on the backstretch. And she said, you need to go all over the country and give that speech so people will know this. And, you know, I hope that my book will be, you know, one piece of the campaign to show the world how much love and passion there is for the horses among the people who are in the industry. I mean, it's a hard life. Nobody would do this unless they loved horses. So, you know, that's what it really comes down to, is how much people love their animals.
There's a kind of a funny coincidental moment in the book where the characters, of course, are all fictional. But at one point, a character that I think you describe as the Clown Prince of Colonial Downs is playing with two bobbleheads, and one of them is of Secretariat, of course, who won the 1973 Triple Crown. The other is of Ferris Allen, a real-life trainer who is currently, I believe, the all-time leading trainer at Colonial Downs. And oddly enough, we had Ferris on the show just about 2 weeks ago. So it's funny how real life and fiction literally came together in that spot.
Yes, I talked to various racing figures about mentioning them in the book, not making them characters, but mentioning them in passing to make the book seem, you know, more realistic. And one of the trainer's hero is Bill Mott. And in fact, in the book, Bill Mott brings a horse to the Virginia Derby. And again, he's not a character, it's just saying that he's there. And Graham Motion brings a horse to the Derby, and his horse wins in the book. Not to give away the ending.
Don't give away the ending.
Spoiler alert.
So everybody heard it here first. There's the ending, and you heard it from the author. Robin, yeah. I want to switch gears just for a moment. You were chair of the Virginia Racing Commission for 6 years. That was sort of in the earlier days of Colonial Downs. When Colonial ceased operations as a racetrack 6 years ago, did you ever see what has now transpired, that it's about to be reborn, as you said, next month, and comment on this kind of roller coaster that Virginia Racing's been on the last several years?
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, it was a blow when the track closed. But in the long run, I think it's wonderful that this new group, Revolutionary Racing, has bought the track. And they are so committed to racing, which the previous owners were not. So I think in the long run, Colonial is going to be a successful, it's a wonderful racetrack. The surfaces are highly praised all around. And the opportunity for the track to be reborn in under the leadership of people who are so committed to the racing aspect is really one. It's a rare thing. You don't see a track close and then reopen, giving away $500,000 purses per structure each day. That's an extraordinary thing right there. So we're real excited about it. In the dark years, the last 5 years, the Virginia Racing Alliance got together. Deb Easter with the VTA was certainly very instrumental in that. Frank Petromala with HVPA. And they, and the harness people too, they all got together to keep some racing going so there would be something there when and if the track reopened. And I think that's contributing a tremendous amount to the fact that it'll be successful when they get started again.
All right, Robin, last question. We'll let you go. I've read Key to the Quarter Pole. Our listeners should too. Where can they get it?
It's available, you know, all the usual places, Amazon and so forth, online. I have a website, robinwilliamsbooks.com, that you can get it through my website as well. It's available as an e-book and in print, and I have just finished recording the book for audio distribution. So it's everywhere, and I'm everywhere. I'm going to Saratoga in a couple weeks, and I'll be at Colonial, so the books will be there too. But thank you for having me on, and thanks so much for talking about the Key to the Quarter Pole. And I noticed you didn't ask me what the Key to the Quarter Pole meant.
Well, it seems to me that shouldn't people read it and find out for themselves?
That's the idea.
All right, we're going to have to let you go. Robin Trawick-Williams, thank you so much. The book is The Key to the Quarter Pole. You can get it at robinwilliamsbooks.com or amazon.com. Robin, we'll see you at Colonial Downs.
All right, Frank. See you at the races.
Sounds good. That was Robin Trawick-Williams. We're up against a break here on Off to the Races. Derby Bill, Nick Hahn still to come. But right after the break, Dee Curry from the trainer of Bethlehem Road. She's going to be talking to us live from Monmouth Park.
Did you miss a special guest? Were you unable to tune in for your favorite show?
Don't worry at all, my friend.
Listen to our podcast whenever you want, wherever you want, by downloading the ESPN Richmond app or online at ESPNRichmond.com. This Open Championship leaderboard update is presented by Lexus of Richmond.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the British Open, sponsored by Pacquiao versus Thurman, live on pay-per-view tonight. I'm John Stashower. Will we have a first-time winner of a major? The top four on the leaderboard have never won one. Only Justin Rose has among the top seven. Jordan Spieth has won three. He thinks that may help his chances.
You know, if I can kind of walk tall, knowing that there's very few people who have, you know, been in this situation contending on the in the weekend of majors as many times as I have, that's certainly a confidence boost for myself.
Spieth has not only won three majors, he's been top 10 seven other times, doesn't turn 26 until next week. Brooks Koepka's already won four majors. For the 16th time in his last 17 rounds at a major, he's in the top 10. And like Spieth, five under par going to the third round. Both are three shots behind the co-leaders, J.B. Holmes and Shane Lowry. Weather looks good today. Forecast is calling for British Open-like rain and heavy wind tomorrow. With this British Open report, I'm John Stashower, Westwood One Sports.
Tonight, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the summer.
Pacquiao, the global icon, the fighting senator.
The great Manny Pacquiao faces hard-hitting Keith One-Time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship.
Manny Pacquiao's a legend, but Keith Thurman coming for him.
Finishing off Manny Pacquiao is the end of his legacy and the beginning of mine.
To become a legend, you have to beat a legend. Pacquiao Thurman, tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order now, live on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to GEICO.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Clean living. Most times, it's easier to achieve it for our cars than for ourselves. After all, Valero top-tier certified quality fuel is just around the corner to keep your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. So if you're not up for raw beet juice today, at least Valero can make sure your car is fueled clean. That means you'll get where you want to go and need to go. And your car will feel great getting you there. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
As a real-life caterer, my recipe for success is a heaping helping of commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive. They helped whip up a customized insurance solution that keeps my business cooking.
That barrage of bad wordplay was most unpleasant. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided and serviced by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurance.
Redskins training camp starts in 5 days. On ESPN Richmond.
Welcome back, everybody. Off to the races. We are midway through our July 20 program here on Off to the Races, talking thoroughbred racing and breeding from all over the place. And let us go now to the Garden State, where trainer Dee Curry is standing by. Dee, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for making a little bit of time for us on this steamy Saturday morning. Let's start with the big thing here. How's Bethlehem Road doing?
He's doing quite well. He shipped in. We shipped in early this morning. I'm only an hour and a little bit away, so we figured we'd let him, you know, stay home and enjoy the comforts of home before we got here, and he shipped in just fine. He's kind of a calm, cool, and collected horse, so I wasn't too worried about his shipping, and he's just settled in perfect.
I know you said he's a big sleeper, so should we expect a nap later on?
Hopefully. He's a little excited today. I mean, this is only his fifth race, and he's starting to realize now when it's getting a little bit closer to showtime. But I think he will. Last time he ran, he was sleeping up until to the Ohio Derby, and we had to get him up, so... I expect him to lay down pretty soon.
Dee Curry is the trainer of Bethlehem Road. Bethlehem Road 20-1 on the morning line in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational. Let me ask you this, Dee. This has been sort of the question on a lot of minds around racing. The heat. Are you comfortable racing in the heat that is all over the Mid-Atlantic today with Bethlehem Road?
Well, I tell you, I guess Monmouth is probably the best track right now to be in the heat because we are not far from the ocean. I'm standing outside the receiving barn with him right now because I always stay with my horse, and there is a little bit of a breeze. It's very comfortable right now. Yeah, it's hot, but there is a really nice breeze flowing through, and we prep these horses. You know, these horses don't sleep in the air conditioning overnight. They sleep in the temperature. We prep them with electrolytes through the week. My horses always get it every day, but you kind of prep them through it. And I don't know if you can hear the wind on the phone, but there's a little breeze coming through. And you know, basically, it's going to be after the race, and it's kind of common sense that after the race, we cool them down as fast as we can. Veterinarians are on standby. They're going to be right there in case we need them. So that's kind of the big thing. And these horses, They're fit. They're in good shape, and I'm not too concerned because, like I said, out of all the tracks, we are the closest to the ocean, and there is a little bit of a breeze right now.
Well, we can hear it. So I hate to hear the sound of wind in a radio interview, but in this case, the sound of wind is a pretty good sound. So that is good news. Monmouth has been taking some heat on social media from folks for this decision, but it's good to hear from you that it seems like it's going to work okay from your perspective. Now, from a handicapping perspective, as we look at this race, Bethlehem Road's 20-1 on the morning line. I think, a lot of handicappers are going to look at this and say, this horse has no shot. what is it that you look at? What makes you think you do have a shot, and what made you decide to come to this race?
Well, first of all, you know, he's a three-year-old. I wasn't going to run him against older horses, so you kind of have to pick your poison. You know, if I don't run here, I was thinking about the Curlin in Saratoga. The nominations came out just the other day, and after seeing the nominations, I'm running against the same type of horses. Same type of horses for $100,000 versus the same type of horses for $1 million. Mammoth is really the next, you know, is a jump from us. A lot of people from Parks just run here on a regular basis, shipping back and forth. So I felt very confident with being close to home and shipping. And then the other thing, I think he's going to like this surface. I like Mammoth Park's surface. I know the surface, and I think he's going to like it. You know, it's kind of, what else you do? There is no other races for a straight three-year-old.
Talking with Dee Curry, trainer of Bethlehem Road, who is running in this afternoon's Haskell Invitational. Now, there's an interesting backstory on Bethlehem Road. As a youngster, you guys had doubts that he was even going to make it to the races. Tell us what happened.
Well, part of the partnership, Griffin Investment, is Jeff Bowen. Jeff and I have been together. I've been training for 20 years. A lot of people don't know that. I'm just not a Johnny-come-lately trainer. I've been doing this for quite some time. And we've been together. He's been very loyal to me. We've had a few decent horses together. And so anything that I kind of raced, and then he's bred because he is a breeder, I raced the babies. This horse in particular was part of his kind of horse that he would put in the sale. It was a Quality Road, which tells you right there. I mean, he's bred very well, and Quality Roads, they all run through their pedigree. That's why I'm not so worried about him, because you know, he is very well bred, and he was supposed to go in the yearling sale. So they bred him to Pinhook, run him through the yearling sale, and then he came out of the field. He was out in Kentucky, and he came out of the field, and his head was completely turned to the side, around, and his ear flopped down. They thought for sure he must have, you know, ran into something, broke his neck. So right away, it was an emergency to get him to the clinic. They sent him over to one of the veterinary hospitals over in Kentucky, and they couldn't find anything. CAT scans, MRIs, couldn't find anything. After further investigation, they found a tumor, or just a growth in the deep inner ear canal. So they had to take it out. Of course, euthanasia was not an option. If anything, he could be a pastor pony if he couldn't make it. So we decided to take the growth out of his ear. When they took the growth out of his ear, then they had to work on getting that neck straight, getting that ear straight, just through basically massaging and physical therapy that they told him what to do to just kind of straighten the head out. So 6 months later, the head is straightening out. I mean, you can still see the ear droop. So then they decided to, you know, let's break him. So they sent him to South Carolina, to Dean Keller in Somerton, South Carolina. And he, you know, broke him. And he said he was not worried about his equilibrium. He absolutely, you know, trained and perfect. So the next question was who to send him to. So Jeff, you know, he pretty much told his partners, you know, this horse is going to need some one-on-one. I'm a small trainer. I have 16 horses, and he knew that he was going to get the one-on-one care that I would give him. So they, you know, all agreed to send him to me in at Parks in Pennsylvania. So he came to me, and sure enough, that's the first time I got a look at the head, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, there's an ear droop for sure. And we started, you know, it was kind of like, oh boy, here we go. And we started training him, and I put a prop bit on him, which is kind of like a straight bar bit, because he did not handle the snaffle too well. And I thought, you know what, he's going to, you know, get a better balance on that. So I put the straight bar bit on him, and he just leaned into the bit, and he goes straight. And when he trains, it's, you know, you can see it, but not that much, because he's kind of focused and he's looking straight ahead. When he relaxes, that head just flips over. But the first time I kind of half broke him out of the gate, he went 34 for 3/8, and I just knew we had some talent. So we knew right away we had talent. It was just a matter of how long and how far he could go, and at what level.
all of which in terms of the distance and the level is still very much in question. He's only had four starts. He won his first three starts easily. And then in his fourth start in the Ohio Derby, he kind of had a rough outing, got bounced around quite a bit through the first eighth of a mile or so, and then kind of was done after that. Did that race make you question him at all, or did you just draw a line through it?
You know, I had to draw a line through it because, you know, even the rider told me, you know, after the fourth bump, he basically just kind of took a deep breath and said, I'm done. And he said that, you know, we had to give him another shot. He trains in the morning like he can go all day. You know, he's got plenty of speed, so I don't put a lot of speed into him. And he's one of those horses that, you know, he'll gallop a good mile before his breeze and then drag the rider around again. You know, he seems to want to go, go, go. And, you know, because he's got the quality road in him, I have to take a shot with that. I can always turn him into a sprinter. You can always turn a horse into a sprinter as they get older, as they weakening, or, you know, things start happening. But this is the opportunity for me to find out if he can go two turns. And I don't want to keep flipping back and forth, short, long, short, long. So right now we're focusing on long. We're going to stay long. And if he's not a two-turn horse, we find out he's not, then when he comes back as a four-year-old, then we will train him to be a sprinter.
Now, you're using Luis Castro Rodriguez, who's been on him all four of his starts. You don't use this jockey all the time. I guess you made three starts together in the last 60 days, but you feel like it's an advantage to have the same guy with the horse all the time?
I do, to one point. I also, more importantly, it's somebody on your team. You know, there's a few riders at Parks that are on my team, and I just feel, you know, people got to remember, they're like, why didn't you put some big jockey on this horse? I'm like, well, why did my owners ask some big trainer to train this horse? You know, trainers and jockeys don't make horses. Horses make trainers and jockeys, and I'm a firm believer in that, and I thought, you know what? My owners are giving me a shot. I got to give this jock a shot.
Well, so far it seems to be working out pretty well. I did want to ask you another question. You mentioned Jeff Bowen and his loyalty. He races as Griffin Investments LLC. There's another interesting character in your ownership group here, which is a name that's going to be familiar to a lot of people, Don Amici III.
Yes. His grandson actually is one of the owners of this horse. And I had the privilege to speak to his father, who is Don Amici Jr. They live out in Arizona, and talking to his father, he was telling me stories of when he was with his father, the actor, and they would go to Santa Anita in the 40s and go to the races. And it was just so exciting to hear the excitement in his voice, because he said, you know, they've owned Breeders' Cup horses over the year, you know, the Amici family. They've owned all kinds of very expensive horses over the years, and they've had more fun, and this horse has brought such a sparkle in their eye because he has just done so much for everybody. I mean, he was not even supposed to be a riding horse because they thought the equilibrium was damaged. And so he's just kind of our backyard pet, and he's done so much. He's put our name out there. He's put my name out there. I'm the fourth woman ever to saddle in the Haskell. So, you know, he's put the, you know, I hope I represent a lot of the women in the business that just don't get the opportunity because we just, people don't want women trainers. And that's basically basically the reason why. I mean, my credentials say that I can, you know, I can train a horse, but I get it. You know, it's a man's world out there sometimes, and in the horse business, it just really has not flipped over to the women yet.
I think we could all use a backyard pet that's earned $124,000, like Bethlehem Road. I've got two labs lying around somewhere. They haven't earned me a dime, so a little jealous of you in that regard. But I do want to touch on this issue that you just raised about being a woman and getting ahead in this industry. And I guess my first question is, do you feel like it's, and this may be a distinction without a difference, but do you feel like it's straight on sexism, as in girls can't train horses as good as boys can? Or do you feel like it's a more subtle sort of, I'm a man, I have a horse, and I'm more comfortable with a guy than I am with a woman?
I think it's a little bit of both, because there are women owners out there too, or you men and wives team owning. I just think they feel that women don't have the edge to be I don't know what the word to use, but maybe a little bit of a stronger trainer, put up with, you know, some of the ridicule, put up with a 1,000-pound animal that might need this and that, and not just you know, make them a pet. You know, I do know this is a business. I do know we need to make money in this business. But I do believe women just do give a little extra one-on-one with the horses. And I think that's what's lacking with some of the in this business. A little more empathy for the horse is lacking. And I think the only way they're going to get it is to get more women involved.
You think this is a problem that's getting better or getting worse or about the same?
I think it's getting worse. I came around and it looked like in the 90s, I thought for sure women were growing in the business. There was, you know, Julie Crone was riding and since the 80s. And it looked like, you know, you had Linda Rice up and coming. It looked like women were all of a sudden, you know, coming around. And then it seemed to all of a sudden get stagnant again, just myself going from track to track and you know, going to the races and finally, you know, getting a level of a little bit higher level. And you're realizing, wow, I'm alone out here. There's just not a lot of us doing it. And if they do, you know, sometimes it's a husband and wife team and it's in the woman's name. But, I mean, just to have women on their own doing this, it just doesn't seem like it's groundbreaking at all.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I was thinking while you were talking, like you know, some years back at Charlestown, there were a whole bunch of female jockeys, and now there yeah. aren't a lot, and there not at certainly parks, not at the top yeah. level.
At parks, we used to have quite a few. You know, you see these up and coming young bug riders, et cetera, et cetera, and I just look now, and they're disappearing. So I do think we are going the other direction.
That's an interesting point. I wish we had more time to explore it, but maybe we will one of these days. But going to have to let you go at this point. But, Dee, good luck with Bethlehem Road. Maybe certainly if he runs a big race, that might open some eyes to Dee Curry and to female trainers in general. Good luck today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. That was Dee Curry. Interesting stuff. Bethlehem Road, 20-1 on the morning line. But you know what? A horse that might jump up after in just the fifth start of his career. Take a look at him in today's Grade One $1 million Haskell Invitational. We are up against our final break. Up after the break, Derby Bill, Nick Hahn going to be in the house. Do a little bit of handicapping. You're listening to Off to the Races. We'll be right back.
Redskins training camp starts in 5 days on ESPN Richmond.
Join us all summer long for action-packed weekends of racing at Laurel Park Thursday through Sunday. Grab a bite in one of our recently renovated restaurants or step outside to get in on all the action from the post parade to the finish line. Celebrate Independence Day with us on Thursday, July 4 at our Red, White, and Bruise event outside on the apron. It's a full day of racing action and fundraising to support the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. See you out on the track. Post time, 1:10 p.m. at Laurel Park. Learn more at laurelpark.com.
Welcome to Sherwin-Williams.
Hi there. I heard paints are 40% off.
Yep, and stains too.
Right here?
Mm-hmm. Only at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store.
Right now.
Well, July 19th through the 22nd.
Right on.
Right? Ask Sherwin-Williams, July 19th through 22nd, and save 40% on paints and stains with sale prices starting at $23.09. Only at your local Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Sub-exclusions apply. See store for details.
I apologize for my behavior in this Walmart grocery pickup commercial because I just got my groceries and I'm hungry. When you pick up groceries this fresh, you just got to eat. Am I right? And I didn't have time to shop in store, so I ordered online when it was convenient and then used free curbside pickup to get these baby carrots brought to me without even leaving my car. No extra charge and freshness guaranteed. Speaking of fresh. Oh, man. Try not to order when you're hungry. Walmart grocery pickup. $30 minimum. Restrictions apply. If you're not happy with your order, contact customer care for a refund.
Join us for live year-round racing here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races every Thursday through Saturday for the rest of 2019. Our next big evening of racing will be on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon Card, headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And the best West Virginia breds will square off on West Virginia Breeders Classics Night on Saturday, October 12th. Located just an hour and a half from both Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, come check out all of what West Virginia has to offer. So come see us here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Wager on all of Delaware Park's live thoroughbred racing action every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday through October 5th. Post time is 1:15 p.m. The nearly $3 million stake schedule is highlighted by the July 6th Grade 3 Delaware Oaks and our signature Phillies and Mares race, the Grade 2 Delaware Handicap on July 13. Visit DelawarePark.com for more information on live racing, promotions, and simulcast schedules, or call 1-800-41-SLOTS. Always free admission and parking at Delaware Park.
Heading on vacation?
You can take us wherever you're headed this summer.
Listen to us live anytime at ESPNRichmond.com or the ESPN Richmond app.
Welcome back, everybody. If it's Born to Run and it's horse racing, that means it's got to be Haskell Invitational Day, Grade 1 Haskell, $1 million on the line, taking place later on this afternoon at beautiful Monmouth Park, the Shore's greatest stretch. Going to be joined by our handicapping wizards, the possibly hungover Nick Hahn and Derby Bill Watson. Nick, how's Saratoga treating you?
Oh, it's just such a paradise when you're a horse racing fan to be able to walk to the track every day. Unfortunately, no racing today because of the heat. They're just not set up for it. But I've done radio from a lot of different places, closets and decks and porches and cars. I'm doing one today from inside the banks of Lake George. I'm broadcasting while standing in the lake. Couldn't be better than that.
Attaboy. Derby Bill, how's it going?
Yes, sir. I'll vouch for Nick. I've seen him at the Preakness with police sirens behind him. So he has broadcast from everywhere.
Hopefully they weren't coming for him. Now, Derby, you missed last week's program, and I was looking at your PPs. I didn't see a recorded work in the meantime. Are you going to be ready to post here?
I went up to Charlestown for the 90th birthday celebration, which I'll never partake in myself, but it's nice to see somebody else turn 90 and visit the mountains of Charlestown in this heat.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to get away from it all a little bit. All right, guys, let's talk about the Haskell here. We're on a little bit of a short leash today, but Derby, let's start with you. Haskell, $1 million, three-year-olds, mile and an eighth. Maximum Security wins here. He's got to be considered the head of the three-year-old class at this point. Does he win here?
The only question I have is if Maximum Security's buyer is higher than the temperature.
So is that a yes, he wins here?
Oh, definitely. He prepped a nice workout for a $150,000 race, setting up for this race. This is all his. There's no competition in my eyes in this race to him. If he runs his race, easy.
Okay. Nick, you agree with that?
I disagree. I don't think he's going to reach that buyer number. Last week we had Head on a Swivel weekend. I think this week it's going to be Locals Rule weekend with, even though Maximum Security has raced at Monmouth and has been there for some time, he was beat by King for a day. And in the Pegasus, going a little farther this time, but I don't think it'll make that much of a difference. I'm going to go back on King for a Day, who's a little bit of a Monmouth acer. I actually like Mucho Gusto maybe to be second. Maximum Security, I kind of have my doubts a little bit. Got to run in the heat, a little bit different race now, and I'm going to go against them today.
All right, are you slotting him in third, or is he off the ticket altogether?
No, I think he's third. I haven't checked for scratches yet, but in a seven-horse field, I think he's good enough to make the board. I'm not going to downtrodden that horse but so much. I'm going to go with King for a Day. I think the rematch of this race might run very similar to the Pegasus.
I'm going to just for fun, I'm going to throw out a name here that neither of you has mentioned, which is Everfast. Every horse in this race wants to be in the same place on the racetrack, which is either on the lead or just off it. Only one of them is going to be running at the end, and that's probably possibly going to be Everfast, who closed like a freight train to be second in the Preakness. Might just get that same kind of setup here that he can run into. Thoughts on that, Nick?
Yeah,
Everfast, Dale Roman kind of mentioned the same thing on Seth Marrow's show yesterday morning. So I think he likes the pace of this race for him, and shortening up a little bit might help him a little bit too, instead of going that mile and a half in the Belmont Stakes. That just wasn't him, I don't think.
Yeah, he was ran a little bit flat in there. Still, for all that, beating three lanes. Now, Derby Bill, you got a multi-race play you're looking to make?
Well, they have a pick 4, 9 through 12. I'm adjusting. There's a couple late scratches. The only significant one I saw was Magnangahalli, the damn river in Pittsburgh.
Monongahela. There you go.
That horse is out.
Okay.
That's it. But in the big race, you're Everfast. You obviously are trying to get close to Dale Romans for a free meal at Colonial Downs with that horse.
I'm all in on free meals anywhere they happen. I can tell you that much. So give us, Bill, give us your pick 4 there, 9 through 12. The 9th is the Wolf Hill Stakes on the turf.
Yeah, great little turf sprint. So I'm going 3 deep there. 1, 3, 4. 1, 3, 4. The 10th race is the Monmouth Cup on dirt, going long on dirt with the 4 out of the race. It cuts it down the ticket to 3-6, 3-6. Race 11, the Matchmaker Stakes, just before the Haskell. A big, long one on turf. That'll get the Colonial Downs people riled up. Going 6 in that race, 6-3. And then the Haskell, obviously, it's a single, so you can go deep in the first 3 races. You can even go deeper if you're singling the Maximum Overdrive.
So that's a cheap ticket right there, Bill. That's what, 3, 6, 12. If it's at a 50-cent unit, that's $6.
Yeah, that's very conservative. But with the scratch, it helped cut the cost in half. So you can go back and add a few more, or if there's any more scratches because of the excessive heat, you can adjust it. But it's a nice pick for races 9 through 12 today, finishing it on TV.
Nick, why don't you give me, and you're going to get the last word here, I think, why don't you give me one horse you love outside of the Haskell?
I'm going to go with Valedictorian. Look for many of these horses here. Many of the favorites haven't raced at Mama's today in many of the stakes races. Look for that through all of those stakes races. I think the locals are going to do very well here. I like Valedictorian 4 of 5. Coming up in the Matchmaker here, and the favorite in the race is Competition of Ideas, who hadn't started here. Look for that to be a little bit of a factor in the Monmouth card today.
Interesting angle. I like it. All right, guys. Nick, Derby Bill, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your handicapping acumen. Got to tell our listeners first thing right now, no show next weekend. We are off on the 27th. However, we will be back same bat time, same bat channel, starting the following Saturday. That's August 3rd, running through the end of August. So we will be dogging the Colonial Meet, and we will be there throughout, all the way up through August 31st. So make sure you tune back in 2 weeks when we return to action. Thanks to Matt Josephs, our producer, for making the trains run on time. Thanks to Derby Bill, to Nick Hahn, to Dee Curry, to Robin Trawick-Williams, our guests. Thanks, of course, to our listeners, so we're not just talking to ourselves. Keep up with racing all week long on theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next week at the same time to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name's Frank Vespi. This has been Off to the Races Radio. Have a great week and good luck at the windows, everyone.
From the G Law Firm Studios, your personal injury attorneys.
99.5 and 102.7 ESPN.
WXGI Richmond, WTPS Petersburg. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Jordan Spieth making a move up the leaderboard during today's third round at the British Open, along with Justin Rose. Spieth is now one back of leaders Tommy Fleetwood, J.B. Holmes, and Shane Lowry. Brooks Koepka is 2 off the lead. And there is some star power missing this weekend at golf's final major of the year. Tiger Woods among those who did not make the cut. Tiger said he's looking forward to taking a break and resting up for the FedEx Cup playoffs. ESPN golf analyst Michael Collins.
I just think it's ironic and funny that he talked about coming into this week a major championship tired because he was on vacation in Thailand. But